Well, I want to welcome you this evening to our third session at Church of the Redeemer as we're talking about life groups and Christian community. And as we're going to begin this evening, I'm going to put Bob on the spot and ask him to open us in prayer. So, Bob, would you pray for us as we enter into this time?
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Thank you for being with us throughout the day, never letting go. Always there for us. And Lord, tonight we come together again with the idea that we would love to be able to help glorify you, help build the kingdom that you want built. And there are a lot of ways to do that, Lord. And we ask that tonight you would guide Bill, our leader, guide our discussion, open our hearts to learn, to be hungry, to be seeking and seeing the end result, Heavenly Father. Building your kingdom. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bob, you said it right there. This isn't about growing our church, but it's about building the kingdom of God, seeing the kingdom of God grow and taking part in that. So this is, as I said, our third session. Our first session was kind of an overview on Christian community in general, and the second session we dealt with the first of the four essential values in life groups. So what are those four essential values? We're not going to talk a lot about them, but let's name them. So what's the first essential value of life groups? Welcome and hospitality, exactly. Breaking bread together. What's a second one? They don't have to be in order. Prayer. Prayer, which is also caring for one another. What's a third one? The Word, Scripture. And the fourth? Mission. Mission and service. That each life group will have some sort of breaking bread together. And we talked about fellowship and hospitality last week. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Word and Scripture, that each life group would have some time where you're opening God's Word, welcoming God's presence, discussing it. And we're going to talk about some how-tos and some equipping as we're looking at that. And then we're actually going to do that together tonight. The third value, prayer and caring for others, that there'll be a time when you stop, and maybe as women and men, or maybe in smaller groups, but you take time asking and hearing, how are we doing, and then praying for one another. And then the fourth piece is that you're active in some mission or service. And so, Jane, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. Jane leads a life group. And she leads a life group of very active women. It's hard to keep them in one place. And I love your group. What do you do for mission together? What's your missional activity?
Well, our missional has evolved from going to the nursing home until we couldn't do that, and now we're praying for the staff.
That's right. Their missional part is to pray. These are some of the beloved women at Redeemer who are prayer warriors, and because they aren't able to necessarily get out or go, they used to. Now their mission is to pray, and that's enough. That's important. Amen. And so it could be doing an activity, it could be praying for a mission and then possibly planning something to do with them, but that there's some missional activity. So those four things are essential core values. This evening, I want to start with a little activity because we've got some new faces here who haven't been to other classes. So what we've done each class is I'm going to ask you to move around the room and just go and talk to somebody that you don't know that well or somebody that you don't know at all. But the question I want you to ask besides what's their name is ask them what was their favorite childhood vacation? Or favorite childhood vacation memory. So, I'm going to pause this while everybody, okay, first everybody stand up. I'm going to make you move. Now, it can't be the people sitting right next to you. So you got to move to someone that you don't know that well, and we'll revisit in a couple minutes. Well, as we're coming back together here, the whole purpose for those things is it's a demonstration of how just a little bit of time together, not in the normal setting of the sanctuary at church on Sunday, suddenly you learn more than what the question asked, and you've got a deeper relationship with people that maybe you've known. Chris and I have been worshiping alongside each other for as long as I've been at the church, and I learned some stuff about him and roller coasters that I didn't know. And so that it provides a deeper connection. And that's one of the key ingredients of life groups, is having those bonds with other people where you can get beyond the norm. As I mentioned, this evening, we're going to be talking about God's Word as being an integral part for life groups. And for those that are in life groups, or for those of you that have been in small group Bible studies, I'm going to ask a question, and if you don't have an answer right away, but you've come up with one in a little bit, you can let me know. Can you name a time where you were in a small group where you were discussing Scripture and then you saw God do something within your group that surprised you, or that wouldn't have happened if we hadn't been talking about Scripture, or if we hadn't met to be together to talk about Scripture? Can anyone think of an example where just through that discussion, God did something, or you saw God work? Yes.
I don't know if you need to record this. I said I didn't know if you really wanted to.
But that was an example of, I'm summing it up for those listening online, of a group that got together to study Scripture, which led to the sharing of a need, a medical need, a tumor.
Correct.
Which led to the group praying together.
A brand new group
of brand new Christians.
Yes.
And God did a healing over the next week that they were able to attribute to, we got together and God used us in a powerful way.
Sure did.
And you mentioned also that, can't remember what the topic was, but I can bet that someone was looking up a scripture on healing in the midst of that. Well, let's take a look at that. It doesn't have to be what you plan.
Right.
It doesn't have to be because you were so prepared as a leader or the people were so attentive. Sometimes it's just being available. And God does use his word. So, thank you for that example. Were there any other stories before we move on? Yes?
Actually, I'm glad you said that because it reminded me of one I was in when I used to teach at a Baptist preschool. And we were discussing how we really needed a need to teach the children abstract concepts. So we started a prayer group to pray for how we're supposed to explain all these things like miracles to children. And that year I happened to have a 3-year-old in my classroom who was in a walker. He couldn't walk without some assistance. And that year around Christmas time, he ended up being able to walk without it. And it was the perfect example that we were praying about, that everyone understood then what a miracle was at our preschool.
Could you hear that okay? It was a miracle at a preschool where the teaching the kids about prayer, and the little boy who was in a walker by Christmas was able to walk without his walker. And the testimony, not just to the kid, but kids, but to the parents of the power of prayer. Did you want to share one?
You don't have to have it on, but I remember it probably right after college, near Ball State in Indiana, the college students at our church, bunch of 20 to 23 year olds, where each week we'd, with the college pastor, really be in the Word in a group setting. And I mean, that was the whole time, was being in the Word. And then we'd break up into groups of 3 to 4 afterwards. And all of us were trying to figure out jobs and life and, you know, at that age. And I just remember, again, having been in the Word, to then, you know, really the prayer time afterwards in the small groups was more meaningful, with, you know, after having spent time, that this is what God's talking to us about.
Yeah, that's right. When you begin to dig into God's word and you hear that. I was in a college It was a Fellowship of Christian Athletes group, and we would get together and talk about God's Word. It was real informal. It wasn't a big show or a big production. And Kim and I, at that point, were dating, and one of Kim's roommates, who had always come to these Bible studies with us and was involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship also, her name was Robin. And we just continued to open God's Word together and talk about it and pray together, and we continued to do this. And that spring, there was a Fellowship of Christian Athletes retreat, and she decided to go on the retreat, and she came back, and she was so excited, and she said, "You won't believe it. I prayed to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior." And we looked at each other like, "You mean you weren't a Christian?" We had no idea. We treated her just as a member of the group. There weren't any bars. It was fairly simple. It was fairly organic, but the way God moved in her heart, and we had no idea. And that's so true. Even with folks that you maybe have worshiped with for years, there may be a healing that happens that they've been waiting for, they've been holding, just afraid of for years, that God can bring just as a result of being in God's Word. So we're going to take a look, as we did last week, we took a look at some scripture. And we don't have tables here tonight, but I'm going to ask you to break into, I'd say, threes, fours, and fives. And these are all portions of scripture that deal with the Word, that deal with scripture, that deal with the Torah, the law. And I'm not going to say that you need to go through all of these in your little group of three, four, or five, but maybe choose one or maybe two. But I want you to be thinking about it through the lens of, on the inductive Bible study sheet, explore the text, asking the questions who, what, where, when, why, and how. What jumps out at you that these portions of Scripture are talking about the Word, about Holy Scripture? And so you can move chairs around if you need to. I'm going to suggest that some people gather around Betty, so Betty doesn't have to move. But just gather into threes, fours, or fives, and we'll come back together again in a few minutes and talk about what jumped out at you, what you noticed, what you think the scripture that you focused on, or the two scriptures that you focused on, are saying. So as we're gathering back, we're going to take about 10 minutes to unpack some of the insights that you may have noticed. And they don't need to be in any general order, but I do want to start with the what. So what is the main topic in each of these scriptures that we're discussing?
The Word.
The Word, okay. So God's Word. Were there other ways that it was presented in these readings other than God's Word?
Scripture.
Okay.
Sacred writings.
Testimonies. Law.
Sacred writings, testimonies. The law, or the Torah.
God.
The precepts, yep. What did you say, Bill?
I just said God.
Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Talking about Jesus.
Commandment,
right? So, and I would say, along with testimonies, in the Timothy, you can kind of pull teachings. Continue in what you've learned, knowing from whom you learned it. But it's all focused, at that point, they were learning God's Word. They were repeating and doing that audibly. So there's the what. Now, what are some of the other insights that you may have had that are across the spectrum of who, what, where, when, why, and how? What jumped out at whether you or your group? And if somebody shares from one group, then we'll move to another group, and we'll just keep going around until we hit on quite a few of these. Bob?
When it comes to the why.
Okay.
It comes down to, again, keeping the, having the end in mind when you begin something. And Timothy clearly had the end in mind, so why he was writing this was he had something in the end of mind, and that was letting people know how valuable this is, because it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training of righteousness. And then the big one is so that it may be complete, equipped for every good work. So he power packed this with why, studying scripture.
That's right, the whys that Timothy lists.
Also for salvation.
That's right, why. That's a critical one.
The value of the word, which includes salvation.
Bill, can I use one that's not on your list?
Yes.
Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby.
What verse is that?
I don't know the reference. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby.
That you may grow.
Grow.
So why for growth? As you lead and as you participate in these studies, especially if you have, it doesn't have to be a study Bible, but a Bible with cross references. Even as you, there were lots of Psalms that hit on this. I only chose a few of them. But you will probably end up at that one if you follow the strains and the threads. So it's not about you having all of this preparation and you've nailed everything. No, you can discover things as the group goes on.
I thought this was interesting under the why. In the Hebrews, it talks about it's, that it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
That it discerns your heart. What does that mean? Discerning heart.
It reveals.
It helps to expose what's really going on in your heart. Even though you may show up and say, yep, we're doing fine, as you read God's word, you may end up sharing with a smaller group in prayer, I'm not doing fine at all. Continuing, but also not giving up. I met with a young man earlier this week who was just feeling like he was losing his faith. And he said, I just want to do better. I want to be a better man. I said, that's not what faith is all about. It's about knowing that you're loved and knowing that he's forgiven you and knowing and walking in that relationship. That may be an outworking, but Paul didn't get it right all the time. Peter didn't get it right all the time. You need to watch what your measuring stick is. But it's not giving up. And this is also where community is so helpful when you say, I can't believe this happened. And everybody in the group says, yep, did that last week too. Or, yeah, we're all struggling. Or, no, I've been there, but this is how I got out. That sharing in that. That's really good. What else? You guys have been quiet. You were not a quiet group. You were the noisiest group. So, what was an insight that y'all had?
We did Isaiah.
All right.
And we also went backwards and forwards in the verses too, which helped out quite a bit because it kind of gave us some context.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm losing my voice. not particularly like verse 7, and we discussed it, and we kind of came up with...
verse 7 being...
The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. And we just kind of figured that he's doing an analogy between nature, grass, flowers, and people, that we are all going to die, we're going to fade.
Yes.
But the word of our God will stand forever. So that made me feel better when we did that part.
That's right. I think that's a piece of the... Is that a piece of the what?
The why is includes the value of the word. I would say that might show the extent
salvation.
Of the extent of how long this is.
Lasting forever. That it never goes away. Its power never ceases.
The Psalm 119 reference makes meditation all day the reference for when. That it should be like, although it's important to have your quiet time, it's important to say, okay, now I'm going to read the word. But it should always be in your heart. It should always be, reflecting on throughout your day.
And we saw that in Timothy as well. The when was from childhood on and on and on. And
right.
Relating back to Isaiah until you're no longer here.
We don't have forever, and that the priorities, is it this that fades and burns away, using the Isaiah, or?
Yeah.
I think Peter quotes the Isaiah. I keep going to one, there's a passage somewhere in Peter that quotes that Isaiah passage, the grass withers and the flower fades. And we mentioned the Psalm 119, that we do it all the day. What's the why that we pull out from, I think it's the second to last verse in the Psalm 119? So we meditated all the day. Why do we do that?
I do not turn aside from your rules.
I don't turn aside.
Give
you a hint, it's an Amy Grant song.
Your word is a lamp.
Why? Because it gets you where you need to go. Okay, sorry.
Understanding was the answer in the next to last one.
Yeah, I got the verse wrong. But why? It gets you where you're going. Without it, there isn't a light. So we could go on and on with this, but this is how simple it is to lead a study, whether you're in a life group, whether you're a leader, whether you're a participant. It's opening up his word and just what jumps out. And then you may choose, we're going to focus in on this part that it gets you home, and let's talk about this. You may talk about a lot of things, and then it may narrow your focus. But all of these, if you didn't have a chance to look at them, all of them focus on the fact that it gets back to what Joshua wrote. Be very careful, the first verse, to observe the commandment of the law that Moses gave you. This goes back to the beginning when Moses saved his people. God saved his people through Moses. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and cling to him and serve him, to keep his word, to know his word. And the why comes from, if you go down to the second to last scripture there in the Hebrews, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts, that it hasn't changed. Yes, Annika.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again not of perishable seed but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you.
Amen.
Good news.
What? It's the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. So, from that exercise, again, we could continue, but with limited time, I want to get into a little bit of equipping. When you open God's Word, when you enter into discussions, you'll get to engage with various dynamics within your group. Every group will have characters. Every group will have what I might say, might call those with rogue ideas. They're just out on their own. The monopolizers, the interrupters, you're going to have a lot of things. So first key, if you're going to lead or if you're going to host, is to pray. I was floored. Eric Tuning, one of our young men in the church, is leading the Bible study. He's graduated from high school, and he's doing it kind of as a... Sean said, how'd you like to lead? He called Sean earlier this week and said, by the way, I'm not going to eat lunch because I want to fast as I prepare to teach. I thought, oh my gosh. That he's taking time to pray to make sure he's heard. The example from those younger than us. Take time to pray. And as you prepare, it might just be reading the scripture that you're going to go over and allowing that to wash over you. Not that you have to have all the answers and know all the Greek words, and that you take time to pray and engage with it. We recommend, as you do that, that if you look at the Mark passage, that you very simply print out the passage that you might be talking about. And I realize that by putting numbers in here, that could cause, if for someone who's never seen a Bible, why are these numbers here? I was actually part of a Bible study where someone read, and they read scribes arguing with them, 15, and they read all the numbers. You know, when I printed this from Bible Gateway, I could have chosen no verse numbers. You can do it in different ways, but have it accessible so that it reduces barriers for those coming in. That, okay, now turn, find, you know, if they've never handled a Bible, immediately their alarms are going off, they're embarrassed, whereas if we're all using this, it's okay if you brought a Bible, but we have it right here. It really makes it accessible to everyone. So with that, I wanted to just mention preparation does not have to be exhaustive, but prayerful it must be. That's the important piece. Let's talk about those that come up with rogue ideas. You know, as I read the scripture, this is what I believe that scripture means to me. For those of you that have led groups, what are ways that you can respond to that? You know, that reminds me of when my dad and I, and we knock on wood, and that always makes me feel bad. And so I think it's very similar to the knocking on wood. What are ways to diffuse that within the group? Because I guarantee you, many will be looking at you going, good luck with that one.
So I led an alpha group one time. And in the middle of our discussion, one of my, we happened to be holding an alpha for a group of people who were living in the halfway house. And one of my group members said, well, do you think God put people on other planets? That kind of, and of course, everybody immediately turned to me.
Right, there's a rogue idea.
A group leader, a very rogue idea. And so one of the things that I said is, you know, to my knowledge, there's nowhere in the Bible that talks about that, but maybe that would be a good Bible study to go research in the Bible and see if there's anything in the Bible that talks about that, trying to lead them to take some initiative on their own. Mm-hmm. Help seek out the answer, knowing that me always going to find the answer was not going to help develop their skills and looking in the Bible and learning to answer questions for themselves.
But also that you put it off. It's okay to not have the answers.
Absolutely.
And to be able to say, that's an interesting thought. I don't know that we're going to get to that tonight, but let me make note of that and maybe we can talk about it later.
And that's what we did.
Be- Because that gives you the opportunity to then have coffee with the person later, and then, you know, again, with our question at the beginning of the class, to talk about something totally different than that scripture, to possibly bring them to faith. But you're right, that's it. That's really interesting, but we don't have time for that. Other ideas of how to deal with, or suggestions how to deal with rogue ideas.
We had somebody in a home group that was consistently coming up with an idea that was out there. I mean, seriously, they just read what they read and everybody else was kind of going down this path, and this person would come up with something that just, it was going in another direction. And I think one of the important things is to give the person credit for coming up with an idea and a thought that is interesting. And that might be something that's really worth pursuing, but I can see why you brought that up. And give them credit, and then try to change the subject again without insulting them.
Affirm them for speaking and saying, that is really interesting. And that's what I try to do, is I just write it down. You know, I'm going to make note of that, and we may have some time. If not in the group, I'd love to talk with you about that. But I'm sorry we don't have time for that, because the rest of the group also is looking to you as, how long is this going to take if we're going to, you know, if you follow every rabbit trail, you won't have time. So that's rogue ideas. What about the monopolizers? The ones that every question that you ask, they're the first to speak. And they speak, and they speak, and they speak, and they speak.
When you're a teacher.
Well, what are ways that those of you that have been a part of groups, maybe you've wished it happened that way, or...
Before you turn over the class to someone who you know is ready to talk, I want to hear from a couple of people who haven't said much, or you say a couple of names. I haven't heard from you guys yet, and before you open it up. So
intentionally knowing that someone is going to be the first to say, now I'd like to open this question up to folks that haven't said anything. Sometimes in a group I'll say, now to those of you who are introverts who haven't said anything, we're going to be very quiet for an extended period of time until one of you speaks. but it the extroverts always jump in. They can never. Have that. but usually. But yeah, that's right. You have to be careful. You know, usually the extroverts though can't hold back, but you may get a different extrovert that speaks.
Sharing, you know, in a smaller setting, some of us who are more introverted might be more likely to say something to three as opposed to seven.
Right.
Or eight, you know, to have the discussion go from whole group to small group and back, you know, I think is a good tool when you have a monopoly.
You know what? Another thing that I've done before when you have somebody like that is actually get with them before the group and kind of bring them on almost like an assistant. And say, look, I said, I really want to try to draw out some of the other people in the group. Mm-hmm. So if I give you the nod, then I'm looking for you to respond. But how about help me try to draw out some of the other people
to talk?
That way they feel like they're not being pushed out.
Right.
And they're actually getting participate like a leader.
Absolutely.
You've complimented them.
Exactly. You've complimented them what they do.
It's cool.
And if you do break into smaller groups, I'll come back to you. If you do break up into smaller groups as the leader, you may want to make sure you're in the group with the monopolizer so that you're not saddling others with, well, now two introverts are going to be listening to this person the whole time we're in small group. You know, these are delicate issues.
If you get a small group of introverts,
they'll eventually speak.
Everybody just staring at each other.
But they're delicate. And even when you do it really well, if someone already has a wounded spirit or they've had a bad day, they may react in a negative way. And in my experience, it's in the cleanup of those later when you meet with them and you say, I'm really sorry for hurting, that God sometimes brings big time fruit. So We need to not be afraid of these situations, but prepared for them. You know, as we pray, being prepared for them.
Speaking as an extrovert, but hopefully not a monopolizer, I can just say that I think for extroverts, having that said is not a bad thing, because we do enjoy talking. We do like speaking our mind, and I personally would not take offense. I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, let somebody else have a chance. So I think it's perfectly fine. You know, let somebody else talk for a change. You know, I would not take offense.
Yeah.
You're probably right. Most extroverts probably do, like, I don't know. I'm running off at the mouth again.
I'm thinking that if that person is talking, that trying to piggyback off of something they're saying to ask another question to try to get it open and back on track.
Right.
So be thinking of other questions related to what they're saying.
Yeah, there are times when you may need to interrupt. Now, you know, this gets to the interrupters. If they've taken charge and they've moved on to a tangent, to very delicately say, can we hold that thought for a second? We've got a limited time tonight, and I'd like us to focus back in on the scripture, but I'd like to talk to you about that later. Can you come and talk to me about that later?
Sometimes just a redirect. It's like, okay, we're going down this bunny trail. Let's get back to what we were looking at before. You know, Bill, what do you think the scripture says?
There you go.
And then you can leave someone else into.
And it helps to have, as Bill said, if you talk to the whole group ahead of time and say, if we end up on bunny trails or whatever you want to call them in your group, I may redirect us. And if it feels like I'm interrupting, we've got a limited amount of time, but we may, you know, we all have permission to call bunny trail. And so, you know, or something to that. But if you prepare them, then I think they can be ready for that. Because a lot of times it's those that talk over their needs that most need to be in the group. And they're the ones that are least included because people are afraid to include them.
Well, and there are some introverts that will actually open up because it is a small group.
Right.
If it were a larger group, they would never open their mouth. Right. But because it's only 7, they now feel free enough to be able to share.
Yep.
And so there are times where I don't want to hush that person up because I know that they're usually a quiet person, but they feel comfortable to share.
Yes. So we've dealt with monopolizers, rogue ideas, interrupters. So how do you deal with someone who interrupts, takes it on a tangent, and then says, well, my friend has this problem and we need to pray for them, and starts into a story? Can we hold off on that for a second? You know, that. Well, maybe we could talk about that at the prayer time, or if it's during the prayer time. You know, I'd like to know how we could be praying for you. Let's hold on to that. Or
I think, like you said, validating him, as Bob said, is probably a big part of it. Write that down real quick. I don't want to forget that. I want to come back to that at the end, you know, once we get past this part here.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really good to have kind of one of the most successful small groups I was in. We had sort of a declared rules in the beginning. Like, we talked over, here's how we're going to do this, and this is how much time we have, and so and when we pray, it is going to, we're going to ask that it be a personal prayer request. There's other times to do, let's pray for, you know, but this is an intimate group, and the purpose of, I mean, declaring up front, I think, is really wise. To just decide, what kind of group is this going to be? What is God giving me to lead this group? What are the specific things that are on my heart as I lead this group? Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you feel about it? I'm a rules person.
Set the game rules.
If I hear those, then... Yeah, it's just like I like that word better. Expectations. Here's the expectation of what this group is.
And having those expectations for the time and the word, then having those expectations for the time in prayer. And that also will help to make it accessible to those who may be new to the group. Because while we want life groups to be this group of people that we really get to know each other, one of the main purposes, as we mentioned, was for the growth of the kingdom of God. So these need to be places where we can invite friends who might go to church, not go to church, who might be having a hard time or just lonely. And by having expectations spelled out, it takes the edge off. You know, even to the effect as, we're really glad that you're here, you know, as, and then you just rehearse it for everybody. You know, we're going to be done at 8:30. And so in order to do that, when we, you know, when you gather in after the fellowship time, we're now going to take some time to talk about God's word. And that's what we do. And we're going to take about 20 minutes to do that. So we're going to start in this way. And then by them knowing what's happening, it can really take an edge off and make it accessible rather than them wondering, what did I get into?
One of the things also, if you're working with small groups that have a lot of new people or people that may not be churched, so to speak, it's always good up front to just make it clear to everybody with the expectations that we're going to respect everybody. There's no such thing as a dumb question.
Yes.
And you can make the point that, you know, there are certain things we want to pull out. So if we do go down a bunny trail, we may pull it back to make sure we cover what we want to achieve for the night.
Yep.
There was one other one I had. It'll come to me probably when I get in the car.
You can interrupt.
I was part of a group where if someone did have a prayer request for someone else, it was phrased in a way of how that person could help that person. So if I wanted to pray for my Aunt Mary, then it would be like, how can I help my Aunt Mary who was dealing with blah, blah, blah. So it was always about the person who
right.
was sharing the request, not like we're going to all pray for Aunt Mary. We're going to all pray for how Sheila is going to help her,
yep.
her
yeah.
Aunt Mary.
That's a good point.
And that kept it so that you're not just like, oh, yeah, and then I heard about this guy on TV, and I'm in my neighbor down the street, and, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, this is not, you know,
yeah.
the call in your prayer, you know, hotline.
Yeah. That's right.
And that kept it more pertinent to
yeah.
the group.
Yep. Yeah, having those expectations is important.
I realize what the most important one was making sure they understand confidentiality.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
That the things that we're going to share, if we're going to break into prayer, when we share these things, we're sharing them not to be shared outside the group. That what happens in this group stays in this group, to coin the Las Vegas.
Not just prayer, but also just if I'm sharing about something that happened to me or what I believe, or, you know, then I expect that, you're not going to go outside the group and then be like, oh, yeah, I heard that Sheila was really struggling as well. Yeah.
Right. That's exactly right. It's letting people know this is a community where we love each other, where we know each other. We're really glad that you're here. And then when we get into these discussions. So we have about 2 minutes left. And what we're going to do next week is we're going to continue where we're going to take some time to actually walk through an inductive Bible study together. And I was going to use this Mark passage, and so that's what we're going to use. So please take that with you. Bring it back. I'm going to ask you to not spend a lot of time in that passage at all, so that when we come together, we can spend time with it and just model questions, how to walk through it, and how to do it in a roughly 15 or 20 minutes where you can see, get a sense of guiding. And then when we're done, what went well? What didn't go well? Well, I wish you had. There'll be some, so that, you know, a nuts and bolts, how we can try and do that. And we'll move on from that next week into discussion of prayer, because those two things do go together. As you're talking about the Word of God and how it's going to be living and active, it will lead into our discussion of prayer. So anyone have a final thought? Well, with that, I'm going to close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you that your word is living and active, that it discerns and reveals our hearts, that it's a light on our path and it gets us to where you want us to be, that it leads us in paths of salvation and righteousness for the glory of your name. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in our hearts through your word, that you will raise up new leaders for our life groups, whether here or whether in the larger body at Redeemer. And that in this movement of life groups, you would build relationships here at Redeemer, that you will draw others in who have felt isolated and outside. That those that don't have salvation would find salvation, that lives would be changed. We pray all of this for the glory of your name, for the growth of your kingdom, that your kingdom will come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.